please feel free to come in on anything at all. I would really like you to feel free at this discussion, at this meeting. And it is going to center really on the theme of revival. And what we'll do is we'll look at this generally. Mr. McCauley will speak about generally, and then home in on the one that he knows so much about, that he's written so well about, on the revival in Carlow and his own experiences in it, and the experience maybe of others, and some features of it that perhaps we would want to hear about. Now, I think that in any kind of discussion of this nature, that we have to begin, first of all, of course, with the question, Mr. McCauley, that much is made, really, of revival today. How would you define it yourself?
Well, revival means bringing in life again, spiritual life again, by the Spirit of God. There is no other way for it. Some people, of course, maintain that a long period of prayer brings revival, and others take a different course. I think in the Kilsyth and Cumberslang revival, that the minister had been preaching a course of doctrine. Now, when Livingstone, at the first revival, when it began, he was there just for the evening, and intimated a Monday evening service. That's how the Monday evening began. And the Spirit of the Lord, of course, blessed the service.
So what you're saying is that it begins within the church?
Oh, yes, within the church. Yes. I would say within the church. Yes. And through the preaching of the Word. It's really a combination of the Word of God and the work of the Spirit, because the Word is the sword of the Spirit. It's the Spirit that revives. There's no other way of doing it. Sometimes people feel constrained to pray, perhaps, for some time. But the setting up, say, of various prayer groups and so on, I'm a bit sceptical about that.
Well, in certain areas, in some areas of the country today, and I don't want to be offensive to anybody or treading anyone's toes, but I know particularly in Wales that there is the tendency to have meetings just for that specific purpose, so nothing else mattered but revival within the church. And that's what you're sceptical of.
Oh, yes. After all, the primary duty of ministers is to preach the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And prayer comes in along with it, but it's not the primary duty. The primary duty is to declare the riches of Christ. That's the primary.
Now, senior, on that theme just now, being a product of a revival yourself in Carloway, were people praying for the revival then?
Well, I quizzed people. One or two were saying that among the old people that they were looking for somebody to come, but they had no inkling at all, unless the minister had. He had certainly refused a call to Ness. I'm not sure that he would have refused a call to Stornoway. He almost got it, but McRae...
That's right.
I know he almost got it. The sessions were for him, but McRae came and preached two excellent sermons, and that was that.
History repeated itself 6 years ago, that's what happened.
And
the only two sermons I had, but anyway.
An interesting feature, which is perhaps inexplicable, was that the very first crop that came in Carloway were not too steadfast.
Well, I was going to ask you that, actually. You've beat me to that very question, actually, but I was wondering if at the time of the revival in Carloway, when it started, or prior to it, started leading up to it, what about church attendance? Was there a spirit of anticipation?
There was no increase in... No, until the revival started.
From that point of view, there was no evidence that anything was coming?
Not from the ordinary people coming, more of them coming to church. There was no evidence of that.
But would it be a right question to ask you then, is were people sort of taken by surprise when it happened?
Well, I should say they were taken by surprise because of certain individuals
who were
converted, yes.
I see.
The Galway district was not...
Was your own conversion a surprise to people?
Oh, more than likely, because I was the leader of all every other evil thing that was going.
You were a leader even then?
A leader even then. I was... I actually made the football pitch which they have today in Galway, put the nets on it, and never played a game. And
so?
One of the elders who has died, who was in Galway, came over to me and said to me, I wouldn't be surprised though you would never play a game on it, and I didn't.
So he was seeing something.
Well, if he wasn't, I was. I was feeling that I just had to give it up, and I hung up my football boots and didn't go to play anymore. The same with badminton. We had a badminton club in Galway then. And the same with many other things, which I'm not going to divulge.
But you were, well, we could switch the mic off just now. So you were there for... Were you the revivalist?
Oh, no, I wasn't at the beginning. There was a number that started before I started.
You must have been feeling... You were feeling something at that time.
Well, not at the very beginning, no. I was actually playing over at Rouge with the team. I was the captain of the team, and I was playing...
What position did you play, Mayor?
At Duke that time, I was playing outside left, I think, but I normally played centre.
I see.
Some of the fellows who were with me in school were over there, and I was visiting actually with Morda McLeod, who was out in Towerton, down the Clyde. There he was an old man, and he was with me in school. And he and Morda Matheson were in charge of the football in Uke at that time. And Morda McLeod's father, the Go. You remember Ben Hallam Go, her father too, in Bernda.
Yeah.
Well, some of the...
He
asked me about the revival in Galway. Now, a few had started at that time, and I said to him, well, this fellow lost his mother, and this fellow was ill, and this fellow was this, and this fellow was that. But there's one person I said, I can't understand why he started.
You had your reasons for them starting.
And the old man said quietly, oh, he understands you very well. I see you coming. But I was telling what I was feeling. But he knew that I just didn't know what I was talking about.
I see. I know that this would interest certainly some of the young people here just now. At that stage in your own life, were you wanting to be converted? Or were you afraid that you would be converted?
No, I wasn't wanting to be converted. I wasn't thinking of it at all. I went to church. I regularly went to church. And I remember, I think it was MacIver Shawbush who said something about, you're here and you're saying that you, whoever will be converted, you won't be converted. And that's just what I was saying at the time.
You didn't want it?
No, I didn't want it. Didn't see any need of it at that time.
Uh-huh.
But then I was ill at that time. I was ill. I was off for about a year. I promised relatives that I would go over to the communion at Point. But I was going secretly. I wasn't going to tell anyone. I wasn't looking for a conversion or anything. But by the time I went over on the bus, there was no other conveyance. By the time I reached up Kirivik Way, quite a number of the young converts going to the communions at Point were in there. And by the time we reached Point, I was singing with them all the time, and I didn't turn back since then.
I see.
Yes, it is a very peculiar beginning. And I was at that communion, and I hadn't gone to the prayer meeting. But I went on Thursday, when I came back.
From the communions?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Let's see.
That's the communion I describe in my book.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So I thought that was with the revival having started, say, a few years before you started yourself, that...
Well, not a few years, just two.
Well, they say that there is so much, there is such a presence of the Spirit in revival, the extraordinary presence of the Spirit, that people who aren't converted at all feel something of that power.
There is no question about that. That is quite true. And not only do they feel the presence, the atmosphere, as they called it, but they feel when it goes away. They notice that. I was speaking to one man, I was in the Terriers at the time, and one boy who was with me in the Terriers told me that he used to go to these meetings, and he wasn't converted. He said, I would stay there listening to them till 7 o'clock in the morning. And another fellow in Carloway told me that he would notice the difference when the atmosphere changed, as it does sometimes in meetings like that, that a coldness comes in, an indifference. Spirit as if it was withdrawing from the meeting.
I see. So they would be aware of that?
Yes, they could feel that, yes. Mm-hmm. Well, you see, I think it's quite understandable when the spirit is present, the emotions are moved, that's true.
Yes.
And when things go flat, they would notice the difference there.
Mm-hmm. Now, in Carloway itself, where even in your own report, the book, a lot of people, I can't remember the exact numbers, were converted. Would you have had many instances of people who didn't continue?
No, we didn't have many instances. We had one or two later on, but not many. No, we didn't. But you see, when the revival began, there were cottage meetings everywhere. And depending on where they were that night, the whole crowd, they came from Tolstachulis, from everywhere, and in Priestlicht as well. The movement was in Priestlicht at the same time. And it was slightly different from the way it worked in Carloway. The Priestlicht one wasn't just the same. There was more questioning in the Carloway end about points of doctrine and things like that than there was in the other. I'm not trying to depreciate the Priestlicht people, mm-hmm. because they were the same, but there were more questions arising among the youth that were in Carloway. McKeever maintained that they were the most intelligent youth in the island at that time. And he was not alone in that. Perhaps I do, but I didn't know. Those who came over at the elections maintained that they got the most intelligent questions from the Carloway district. I'm not trying to...
Maybe they were more politically motivated than people in the island. But I think the people...
No, but they were more intelligent.
I think that was probably born out in after years where in Christian company at communions, where these men were noted for the...
Well, it depends. I think the intelligence there, the grasp they had there, the schoolmaster they had in Priestlicht came down to Carloway. And his stress was mainly on mathematics. He wasn't teaching English, he was teaching Latin and mathematics, and of course navigation. When I went to the Nicholson, I was up to the third year in navigation before I went there from Carloway at that time. And the star in mathematics when I was in the Nicholson from class 6 down to class 2 or 1 came from Carloway or Priestlicht because of the overstress on mathematics. And the English star went to the point people because of the overstress on the English and not on the mathematical side.
I see.
Yes, it was very peculiar, but it...
Did nothing at all go to Ness, Mrs. Mendelssohn?
Oh, well, of course. Ness was different. In fact, there was a movement in Ness long before it was in Carloway through Roddy MacLeod.
Oh, yes.
As Mrs. Mendelssohn is a product, knows very well.
Yes. Now, in both these revivals, you mentioned you brought in Ness now and Carloway, it seems to me that preaching played a large part.
Oh, preaching the main part. Uh-huh. The main part. Yes. Preaching the main part.
The whole emphasis was on
preaching. The whole emphasis was on preaching and teaching, yes.
And when you met like that, you mentioned these cottage meetings to which everyone gathered.
Oh, well, that was merely for praying.
Yes,
and then discussion.
Discussion,
which was very important, discussion.
And based on what was being taught, what was being preached very often.
What was being preached very often. Mm-hmm. Yes. I sometimes went to church after to listen to Mr. McKeever. Norman MacLeod and myself would be discussing a certain question in a house in Carloway. Here the minister would come out with the very things we were discussing. And one Sabbath he came out with it and was against what we were saying. And we were sure that this man had told him. As soon as I came out of church, that man made straight for me. We didn't tell him anything. Now, the next Sabbath, I don't know whether he told him then, he turned round the other view, you see, the other side of the question.
I see.
Because the minister had this, he had really hold of the mind,
the pulse of the people,
yes, which is very important.
How was he able to do that? Was he part of the fellowships with you?
Sometimes he was. There was an old lady just up beside me there, and sometimes he had to go to the Church of Scotland to listen to the husband of her sister, brother-in-law, John Mackay, John Knox.
Oh, yes.
And, of course, she hated to go to Church of Scotland, Miss MacIver, because MacIver was an idol. And this night, she was looking after her aged mother. And this night, we went up after the meeting, and we started, of course, pulling her leg, saying that, oh, he was really wonderful tonight. Of course, who came in on the door but the minister? And she immediately said to him, I'll say this in Gaelic, I think you're going to extremes when I'm not there.
I see.
Yes.
No.
That's the feeling, excuse me.
Yes, sir.
That's the feeling that anyone had who was prevented from going to these meetings, that they lost an awful lot.
They were missing something.
Missing something, yes.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I see. It, maybe that wouldn't be a bad thing for us all to carry with us if we could.
Yes, indeed.
Adopt that attitude.
Yes,
in
indeed. There's always a loss. Most one year had a loss, much one year.
Now, the other thing that is striking about revivals, when you read about especially revivals in this island, is that they all have their own particular features. They seem to have.
Yes, and some places didn't have them.
And some places didn't have them at all.
Yes.
Now, were there any features that were peculiar, would you say, to the revival in Carloway?
No, I wouldn't say there were any. Well, at the very end of the revival, actually, a busload went down to Shadr Bawas, where there were people waving their hands up in the air and going out for the count. And some of them took that back with them to the meetings in Carloway. But so far as I know, no one was converted after that in the revival.
Such?
Yes, it had come to an end.
Would the minister express a view on that?
Well, Mr. McKeever, actually, he told me he was over in Crossables, and I was at the listening to him. And there were two special Lameraway girls who were flinging their hands above and going out for the count, and they were being carried out from the meeting to the mound just above the Crossables church. And Mr. McKeever told me that they didn't interfere with his service in any way. The fact that they were even carried out, that he didn't lose his liberty over them in any way.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't for or against what was happening.
He didn't say anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
I see. Uh-huh.
And I think that's almost a wise thing to do in a case like that, if you don't know what's the cause of it.
I see. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Just let it be.
Let it be. It'll. These frills will soon die down, and the real thing will come to the surface.
Now, may I ask this one? I'm going to give the chance to people who want to come in here after I ask this question. And by all means, please feel free to make a comment or address a question, because it's a very interesting and a very important and fascinating subject.
Just to put a date on this, you know, what year was it? That's all.
Well, it began 34, 35, I think. There were just a few before then, odd here and there, say about four a year being added to the communion roll. Two at each communion, regularly since Mr. McKeever came. But the actual revival began 34, 35.
To 39.
When I came back from the war, the first thing I noticed was as soon as they got out, they were making straight for home. A number of couples had to become engaged or were thinking of getting married, and off they went with them. Or during the revival, they always gathered in bunches outside the church, discussing what they had heard or something like that. But after the war, when I came back from the war, I knew the revival was finished because of the way the people were scattering immediately after the ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
A sign of coldness.
Well, it's something I don't like myself, I must say. But anyway, for those of you who were in a revival, has it coloured your prayers? Praying for revival?
Well, of course, everyone doesn't start the same. Some people... I remember one boy in Carloway before I was converted, and before he was actually converted too. And we occasionally... I had a bottle of beer, and I gave him half a glass of beer. And he started praying. I was looking at the man in amazement. And then saying, I'm going to see this girl. Anyway, he had every word that his mother was saying. His mother was a widow. Every word that she was saying at the worship, he had it off by heart. And it came out with just half a glass of beer, and that's about all he could stand.
No, but as a result of all these experiences in revival, how does it? Do people who are in a revival, do they tend to pray always for another revival?
They tend to pray for another revival, an outpouring of the Spirit of God,
mm-hmm.
And they're looking and waiting to see if they can experience once again those things which they experienced in a revival. I often told them at Bach that they couldn't understand what a revival was until it came. And it's only then that it did come. And that they realized
what it was,
what the difference was. Not what it was, but what the difference was between the ordinary meetings and the times of revival.
Times of refreshing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, times of refreshing.
No, may I ask this? There are some people, I know that this is a reaction. I've heard this myself from people, and I don't know if it's because of the emphasis that is placed upon revival or to the exclusion of almost everything else in some circles. And you do tend to get that. And some people react against that and say this, that they don't believe they should pray for revival. That they should just be satisfied with what they would call the ordinary work of the Spirit and in blessing the gospel, and well, if one or two come in, as the word card we put there, one or two come in on a regular basis, that's fine. And why want more?
What does the word of God say? What were they doing in Pentecost on the day of Pentecost? They were of one mind praying,
mm-hmm.
to God. They were praying, but they had to be dependent on the time of the decree.
Mm-hmm. You were praying for the outpouring of the Spirit.
Praying for the outpouring of the Spirit. And I think a Christian is always looking for,
mm-hmm.
He's longing for more converts.
Mm-hmm.
But he, of course, tries to bend his will to the will of God, which is not sometimes easy.
I was only going to ask one question. There's another one now. Do you think there were evidences whether people, or do you know of instances in which people tried to sort of cash in a revival by trying to almost use their own agency and use human means to keep going what God alone could start, what God alone could bring on?
Well, I don't not noticed it, but I think some of that had come in down in Shadder in the Barvas district. You know, the fellow Black, I think, came up from Greenock. I think I knew him myself with some box or other that they were using. I don't know what it was. And it caused a great division in the Barvas congregation, a split that was never healed.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Did the monks spread to the rest of the island at that time?
No. There were a few in Shaw, but just very few. It was strong in Lochs as a whole, right over from Crossopus to Graver and the whole of the district. I don't think it was at Bach at that time, but it was strong in Point, very strong in Point. And it wasn't strong in Stornoway at all. Macrae was against it, and especially against those who appeared to be...
Disturbing the meetings.
Disturbing the meetings. Actually, it was a very peculiar thing. These Those who seemed to be passing out were not passing out at all. They heard every word when they were stretched on the seats. They were stretched on the seats there and heard every word that was being said and appeared to be unconscious, but they weren't. Mm-hmm. The movement in Essex, of course, was some time before that. And it was in 1920, Mrs. Finlayson. That's when Roddy MacLeod was there. Well, when I was in the Nicholson, I was travelling with Roddy MacLeod to Carlow. He was preaching in Carlow. I remember him very well. He went to Dunbar. Mm-hmm.
There were no phenomena attached to the accompanying the revival in Essie either, were there?
No. Except that the elders didn't accept Roddy MacLeod too well because he jumped the fences.
Another feature we hear a bit in revival, number of young people that tend to be involved in, for example, on Israel.
Well, of course, this is a feature of all revivals. Most of those who take statistics, if they know them, but they just say that the large percentage of converts accept Christ before they are 30. And I was telling them this at Bach once, that most of the people were converted before they were 30, and then lesser still before they were 40, and lesser still before they were 50. And then I shouted, if you're over that, you're too late. The sermon was in Gaelic, but these two words were in English. And a man was converted by the words too late.
Was he over 50?
Yes, he was. That's how he began.
But coming back to Carloway, now, there were no children converted in that. Were there any children in that revival?
Well, it depends on what you call children. Yes, my own sister was only 16 now. Yes,
and but that was very much the exception to the rule.
No,
people.
There were quite a lot of young people. Fairly young, yes.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But there have been very few young converts prior to the revival.
Oh, very few. Very few. Uh-huh. Yes.
So you'll have seen, and you'll be able to assess that perhaps better than most people now, the difference between the attitude or the number of the young people connected to the church today. And the number of young people converted to church in the 20s and 30s.
But you must remember, in my young days, most of the young people went to church. They're not like those today. Today they stay inside. They probably look at the television, though I don't see them, but I suspect that they're looking at the television. And in any case, they don't go to church, the young people.
Compared to what was in
youth? Oh, no. Most of the young people went to church in my day.
I see.
Yes.
But what I'm saying is that there weren't all that many young people, members of the church.
No, there weren't. There weren't actually. When Colin William started, he began in 1928, and he was an exception. He had been ill, and he was an exception. Of course, he went in for the mission later on. Now, at that time, we used to go to the Shawburst Communion. Of course, Cullinish then belonged to Carnaway. It was part of the Carloway congregation. We used to go to the Shawburst Communion. Everyone, not the converted people, everybody who used to go to church, they went to the Shawburst Communion, and the Shawburst people came up.
Mm-hmm. Any other? There were a few young people in Ness, Mrs.
Finlayson. Yes, quite a number.
A
number of children.
Yes. Donald MacDonald would be only 9, was it, or 11?
Yes.
11, was it?
No, he was 13.
13,
yeah,
was
13,
it?
13,
I think.
When
it's
he
was in
called.
His book.
Yes.
And Mr. Morrison, he was in that revival of Freddie MacLeod.
Colin
Morrison.
How old was he then?
He was older. Yes, he was older.
No, there's a difference. Now, there were more children in this in the revival.
Yes.
I would say there were 12 children in every village alone.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not sure how many, whether any children in the Priasclet and Tulsta Hulish, but they were a lot of young people. A lot of young people in Priasclet, a lot of young people all over.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Any other contribution you wish to make, a question you wish to ask on this most interesting subject.
Could I ask you, Mr. Macaulay, you said something about the first fruits that were not steadfast.
The first fruits weren't steadfast. Was that what you said?
No, it's a delicate subject. I can't answer that. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to mention the names of who these people were. But they weren't so steadfast. I think the Priasclet people will know. But the one in particular that was in Priasclet, and he was extremely bright at that time, and ahead of most people in knowledge and doctrine. But he went back years after that. I don't know, did he take to think? I'm not very certain. But there was nothing else in his life, so far as I know. And one or two like that down our way, too, who weren't just so steadfast as the next group that came. Now, I think I told in my book that at that time, the great difficulty was that we would be called on to pray. And I was called to pray in the prayer meeting in the church before I became a member. Yes. In the morning prayer meeting, and the place was full. Now, a number of the second group, a number of them, we gathered in an empty house that was there, and we didn't let any ladies in, just to learn how to pray. Did you know that?
I would have thought that you should have let them in because they would have helped you by criticizing.
Of course, if you had been there, yes. No, they weren't allowed in, and even the older Christians didn't allow them in except one that would take charge of the meeting.
So that you would learn to pray?
What, we'd learn to pray.
Did you rehearse it?
Oh, there were many hypocrites so far as that was concerned.
Interesting.
It's interesting, and I remember I went to that prayer meeting. I could disclose today what happened. I didn't in my book, but we were in that prayer meeting, and I had strung a number of texts together, which I could feel of, and I was called on first to prayer, and so I did reel them off. And just when I sat, this fellow got up and said, "Who do you think is going to pray after that?" That was quite true.
How was it that, because it was a most unusual thing for a man who wasn't a member to be called to pray in a prayer meeting?
It was an elder who was beside me that called on me.
Was he disciplined?
Oh, certainly not. You see, we were praying all the houses there. We were praying in the meetings in the houses, though we weren't praying.
What morning? What kind of early meeting was that?
Oh, we still have it, a prayer meeting in the morning before the service.
Oh, Sabbath morning?
Sabbath morning.
Oh, I see. Oh, yes.
Yes, always. Yes.
So that was the end of the prayer meeting. Did someone else stand up after you then?
Oh, yeah. Not. That was in the private prayer meeting, you see.
Yes, I know.
Yes. Oh, that wasn't the end of the prayer meeting. No. No, we didn't end with that. Mm. But it shows you how weak we were in our understanding of prayer at that time.
But yeah. Obviously it was an encouragement. You were encouraging one another.
Of course we were encouraging one another, and they were getting practice in learning texts of scripture and things like that, and they were questioning scripture all the time, questioning sermons and questioning everything, discussing that in the homes.
Yes, afterwards. Yes. Well, after your own conversion, when you came back from these communions in Point and you went to the prayer meeting in Carloway,
yes.
Did you feel then, may I ask you, did you feel then the desire to preach?
No. And I'll tell you why. I told in my book, or somebody told me.
Yeah, but some may not know.
There was a lady who was then beside me, just about 100 yards from our house where she, when I was born, who said that I was to be a preacher of the gospel when I was born. And of course, they got to know this. And when I was a young boy, they started calling me Murukhuminishya. And this, of course, riled me. And I was running down a house. We were over visiting, well, around the house. A lady there, she was in bed. And when she heard them calling me Moroccan minister, and she rebuked me and told me not to lay that down as a pillow. And instead of encouraging me to go for the ministry, it did the very opposite.
I see.
Tried to restrain myself from going and didn't actually decide to go until I went to Germany, and that's another story.